Hashtag AQA, a level psychology, approaches in psychology podcast script. Intro music fades in and out. Host. Hello and welcome to the AQA A-Level Psychology Revision Podcast. I'm your host, and today we're tackling one of the absolute cornerstone topics of your entire A-Level, the approaches in psychology. Getting a firm grip on these different perspectives isn't just crucial for one exam question, it's the lens through which you'll view almost every other topic, from psychopathology to relationships. We'll break down the 7 key approaches, give you some high-yield exam tips, and finish with a quick-fire quiz to make sure it's all sinking in. Let's get started. Short musical sting, host. So where did it all begin? With Wilhelm Wundt in Germany, 1879. He opened the very first psychology lab, moving the study of the mind from philosophical roots to a more structured scientific footing. His method was introspection, or looking into. He'd get trained participants to reflect on their own cognitive processes when presented with a stimulus, like a metronome. While it was criticized for being too subjective, Wundt's work paved the way for more rigorous methods. For the exam, you don't need to evaluate him in depth, but you must know his role as the starting point of psychology as a science. Next came the behaviorists, who rejected introspection entirely. They argued that if you can't see it or measure it, it's not science. So they focused only on observable behavior. Pavlov gave us classical conditioning, learning by association. Remember his dogs, who learned to associate the sound of a bell with food and would salivate at the bell alone. Then Skinner gave us operant conditioning, learning through consequences. A rat in a Skinner box learns that pressing a lever results in a food pellet, that's positive reinforcement. Or it learns that pressing the lever stops an electric shock, that's negative reinforcement. It's all about how our environment shapes us. But what about the bit between the stimulus and the response? Albert Bandura's social learning theory provided the bridge. He agreed we learn from our environment, but he argued we also learn indirectly by observing others. His famous Bobo doll study showed that children who watched an adult behave aggressively towards a doll were more likely to imitate that aggression. This introduced key concepts like modeling, imitation, and vicarious reinforcement. That's when you learn by seeing someone else being rewarded or punished. Crucially, SLT introduced mediational processes: attention, retention, reproduction, motivation, the cognitive steps that occur between observation and behavior. This was a huge step because it reintroduced the mind into the equation. And that leads us perfectly to the cognitive approach. This approach sees the human mind as being like a computer. It's all about our internal mental processes: perception, memory, language. Cognitive psychologists use theoretical models like the multi-store model of memory and computer models to understand these processes. A key concept here is the schema, a mental framework of beliefs and expectations that develop from experience. Schemas help us process information quickly, but they can also lead to stereotypes and distortions. Now, for a big shift in perspective, the biological approach. This one is all about the body. It states that everything psychological is at first biological. It looks at the influence of our genes, the structure and function of our nervous system, and the role of neurochemistry. For example, low levels of the neurotransmitter serotonin are linked to depression. This approach also considers the role of evolution, suggesting behaviors that were adaptive for our ancestors, like attachment, are passed down through our genes. Remember to be precise with your terms here. The genotype is your genetic code, while the phenotype is how those genes are expressed through interaction with the environment. Next, we dive deep into the mind with Freud's psychodynamic approach. This is the one you've probably heard of. Freud's big idea was the unconscious mind, a vast storehouse of biological drives and repressed memories that influences our behavior. He proposed the tripartite personality: the id, which operates on the pleasure principle; the ego, the reality principle, which mediates between the two; and the superego, our internalized sense of right and wrong. He also proposed 5 psychosexual stages of development and said that getting fixated at a stage could cause problems in adulthood. It's a controversial but hugely influential approach. Finally, we have the humanistic approach, which emerged as a reaction against the negativity of Freud and the mechanistic views of behaviorism. Humanists like Carl Rogers and Abraham Maslow emphasized free will, the idea that we are active agents in our own development. They believed everyone has an innate drive to achieve their full potential, a state called self-actualization. For Rogers, achieving this required congruence between your self-concept and your ideal self. He argued that many of our issues stem from the conditions of worth placed on us in childhood, leading to incongruence. It's a uniquely positive and person-centered perspective. Short musical sting. Host. Okay, let's talk exam technique. For a 16-mark discuss or outline and evaluate question on the approaches, you need a clear structure. Aim for 6 marks of AO1, that's your accurate description of the approach. Then you need 10 marks of AO3, your evaluation. Don't just list strengths and weaknesses, develop your points. For example, don't just say the biological approach is reductionist. Explain why it's reductionist, because it reduces complex human behavior to the level of genes and neurons, and then discuss whether that's a strength or a limitation. A common mistake is confusing negative reinforcement with punishment. Remember, negative reinforcement removes something unpleasant to increase a behavior. Punishment adds something unpleasant to decrease a behavior. Another pitfall is just describing a study. The examiner doesn't want a full page on the Bobo doll procedure. They want you to explain the theory of social learning using the study as evidence. When you're comparing approaches, use comparative language. Words like whereas, in contrast, and similarly force you to make a direct link and show the examiner you are thinking synoptically. For example, whereas the behaviorist approach sees the individual as a passive machine, the humanistic approach champions the idea of free will and personal agency. That's a high-level comparison. Short musical sting. Host. Right, are you ready for a quick-fire quiz? Let's see what you can remember. Cover your notes. 1. What term describes learning by observing someone else being rewarded for their behavior? Pause. That's vicarious reinforcement. 2. Which approach proposes the existence of the id, ego, and superego? Pause. The psychodynamic approach. 3. The concept of schema is central to which approach? Pause. The cognitive approach. 4. Who argued that to achieve self-actualization, an individual's self-concept and their ideal self must be in a state of congruence? Pause. Carl Rogers. 5. What is the key difference between the behaviorist approach and social learning theory? Pause. Social learning theory includes mediational, cognitive processes, while behaviorism rejects the study of internal mental processes. Short musical sting. Host. And that's a wrap. We've journeyed from Wundt's lab in Leipzig through behaviorism, the cognitive revolution, and the diverse perspectives of the biological, psychodynamic, and humanistic approaches. The key to success is not just knowing them in isolation, but being able to compare and contrast them using the core issues and debates like determinism versus free will and reductionism versus holism. Think about where each approach sits on these spectrums. Thanks for listening. Go back through your notes, create some flashcards, and practice applying these theories to novel scenarios. You've got this. Outro Musica fades in.